you think that when the Jews in the biblical days were walking through the desert for days and days and days on end, do you think they stopped for a sandwich?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
That bothers me.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I don't think they had sandwiches. They just had sand.
Whatever.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
I'm glad I wasn't around in the biblical times. They don't sound like they were very convenient. I don't think there was any air conditioning. I don't. I really don't. I think they had to fan each other, which was a great reliance on other human beings. That's why that time period would not have worked for me. And I guess people are walking around turning water into wine, because I don't think they had coffee. I don't think there was coffee back in the biblical times. How did people wake up and get their day started? I don't know. That's a tough one. I think Jesus was the only one that could turn water into wine, which must have earned him a hefty business. Why would you bother being a carpenter, you know, having to set up appointments and do estimates and building cabinets, which is a lot of work, when you can simply turn water into wine? Wouldn't that be a more profitable industry for him? See, I just don't understand some of this stuff. I don't get it. And when Moses went to Mount Sinai for the weekend, he came across a burning bush, and rather than extinguish it before it like spread onto other bushes and started a whole forest fire, he talked to it, and the bush talked to him. I mean, what kind of stuff was he on, man? Wow. I mean, I talk to dogs sometimes. I know they don't understand me or respond, but I'm not walking around talking to trees. I'm just saying. Look, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to figure this out. It's part of our human heritage, so I'm told. I have an artificial coffee creamer in my artificial coffee with an artificial sweetener, and I'm drinking it into my artificial body. Here we go. Oh, thank you for giving me the time to do that. I don't really like coffee, but now I feel like I belong in society somewhere. And when I go into a Starbucks, and I rarely do because I feel intimidated by those people, when I do go into a Starbucks, I feel like I'm from another planet, like from Planet Fitness. I walk in there and I'm intimidated. People are ordering things that I've never heard of. Lattes and lintes and shaka mocha, and I don't know what the hell that stuff is. I just know coffee. There's a Starbucks near me. Well, it's redundant. Starbucks near everybody. And I go in there and I order coffee, and they give me the coffee in one of those things, cups, I think they call them. And I say, I'd like it light with a little bit of sugar. And they say to me, well, there's a thing over there with the milk and the sugar. Get it yourself. Well, great. Thanks for helping out. What was your job? Just to pour the coffee in the cup? What kind of school do you have to go to figure that out? Rick, here's the deal, Rick. People are going to come in. They're going to ask for coffee or latte or schmate. You pour it in the cup, give it to them, they'll give you money, and that's all you have to do, Rick. You screw that up, you're out of here.
What if they want cream or sugar? Get it himself! Get him himself! Tell him to get it himself!
There's a store across the street that sells milk. Tell him to go buy some milk. What is this with the Starbucks thing? At least at Dunkin' Donuts, you can tell them how you want your coffee, and they'll put the milk in, they'll put the sugar in, they'll even drink it for you. Not a big deal. All these coffee places, it's hot bean juice, and it's like $2.50. Why? 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 Why is it $2.50? Yet I can go into a gas station, and it's 99 cents. Let's see, $2.50 at a coffee place, or 99 cents at a gas station. Now, coffee doesn't sound too appetizing at a gas station, but I got to tell you, saves a lot of time if you got to gas up your car and you want a cup of coffee, 99 cents. Who are we kidding? Come on. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how 99 cents seems like free all of a sudden? Remember the days? Are you old enough? Remember the days when 99 cents was like nearly a dollar? It is a dollar. Let's face it, it's 99.9 cents. That's what gas stations price things, the 99.9 cents. Remember when a dollar was a lot of money when you were a kid? Look, I found a whole dollar. I'll buy candy and soda and a toy. I got a whole dollar. Now you have a dollar in your pocket and you go, whatever. Well, here, you want the dollar? I don't need it. So when a cup of coffee at a gas station is only a dollar, it's like, oh my God, it's free. It's practically free. It's got to be free. Dollar, that's what I tip, not what I pay. That's pretty good. Oh, things are out of hand. Things are out of hand. All the television commercials, everything is $19.99 or $19.95 or something. It's $20. Since when is $20 just a throw in the bucket? $20 is $20, man. But for some reason, everything is $20. A cup of coffee, it's $20. You want to see a movie, it's $20. You want to have dinner, a hamburger, it's $20. Wow, everything's $19.95. It's amazing how that works out like that. Cup of coffee, it's $19.95. It's $19.95. At the gas station, it's 99 cents. Here, it's $19.95. It's like the dollar store. It's like the $20 store. We're going to have those like in 10 years? Hey, they got a great deal at the $20 store. Everything's $20. That's it. Wow, that's cheap. That's amazing. I could buy things all day for $20 an item. What kind of thing is that? I think I've told this story before. There's a store in the Boston area where we emanate this show out of. Store's called Five Below, I think it's called. Five Below. And I immediately thought, this is a place that apparently... It's like real cold inside. You can buy winter coats in there. That's Five Below. Must be like a winter store. No, it's not. It's just everything's $5 or less. Oh, why don't you call it the $5 or less store? Well, Five Below is good. No, that sounds like a temperature. That's a temperature, Five Below.
It's cold out today.
How cold is it, Rick?
It's Five Below.
Whoa, that's cold. How's the job at Starbucks, Rick? Oh, they fired me. I offered somebody cream in the coffee, and they said, no, I told you, just pour the damn coffee and shut up. Apparently, I don't listen. Just need to be quiet.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Shut up.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
It's nice. kids. Kids aren't that nice. let me tell you, kids are not that polite. So that was like, that was a dream sequence is what that was. Because kids are not that polite. I guarantee you it doesn't happen. That was just a dream. That was a total dream. Yeah, total dream. The brain's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's in your head. Oh, shut up with the harp! You know, if you go into the... decide to be a musician, not too many people decide, I'm going to be a harpist. I don't know where that would come from. I don't know from what background you would say, when I grow up, I really want to play the harp. What happened to you? What happened to you in your childhood? Near-death experience? Why would you want to play the harp? Why would you... Someone has to play it. How do we get the harp sound without a harp player? I don't know if there are a lot of harp players. I mean, when orchestras are looking for a member of an orchestra who plays the harp, do you have to look like... If there's one person applying for the job, I think they pretty much got the job. I mean, all right, thanks for all you 50 different harp players. We'll make our decision tomorrow. I don't think it's like that. I think there's just like one harp player in the whole country, and it's a girl, obviously. A guy in a harp, I don't think so. A guy in a power tool, maybe. Guy in a harp, no, it doesn't work. And it's like, you know, other people are going to the band rehearsal, the orchestra rehearsal, bringing their clarinet or their violin. You gotta tool around with a harp. I mean, can you imagine that subway ride? I mean, come on. What are you doing with the gigantic harp? Oh, we're going to rehearsal. I'm with the symphony. Oh, good choice in instruments. Thanks. It's not like a piano where most orchestras, there's already a piano on stage. You just walk in, you sit down, you open up the lid and you play the piano. You don't have to walk around with a piano. But a harp? I don't think you find those around. I think you got to bring your own harp in. That's a tough instrument, man. Not much competition, but a tough instrument. How many harp solos are there in a symphony? Now getting down is Linda on the harp. She's plucking away. She's plucking it, baby. She's plucking that harp. Isn't she an incredible harp player? Yes, man, she's plucking that. Look at the plucking going on there. Man, can she pluck? Yeah, she's quite a plucker. Oh, yes. The best. The brain is an amazing thing, I started to say, and I don't know how I got off of that. I'm doing brain exercises now. Yes, I am. I play a lot of word games on my smartphone. I think it keeps my brain active, makes it think all the time. I wasn't using my brain for a long time. I'd say about 30 years. Wasn't using the brain. Never added anything up, just hit the calculator. Never thought on anything of my own, just listened to analysts on TV tell me what I should be thinking. Never heard anybody talking to me because I didn't care. It was just a rattling sound in the background. So I didn't use my brain too much. Now I do with my smartphone. Play little word games. It sounds so juvenile, I can't believe I'm saying it. No, I use my brain all the time. Man, sitting here for an extended period of time every single day, communicating these stupid ideas to you, I mean, that's using my brain, isn't it? Well, Ron, it's not a real good display then. All right, fine. So today I thought we would talk to a brain expert, brain power, taking care of your brain. I think that's what we're talking about. I'm not too sure. I haven't done the interview yet. It's going to happen in just about a minute. So we'll speak to a brain expert, which is probably very fitting under the circumstances from what you've heard so far. Me and my ferret. Oh, man.
As a special surprise thank you, everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Here's my ferret. Let's say hello to Dr. Michael D. Lewis, director of the Brain Care Clinic in Potomac, Maryland. And thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Hopefully the weather's doing you good and life is going just as well.
It is. Under the circumstances, everything's good. Now, let's talk about, we're talking about keeping our brain healthy in various ways. And we always talk about keeping your heart healthy. Everything's heart healthy, everything. But the brain, pretty much right up there in the number one category as well.
Well, yeah, I think the brain might be important, but we're still working on that.
Okay, all right. Apparently a lot can go wrong with that thing, though, if you're not careful. No, we all, I think every human being has this fear of someday when they get older of losing that capacity to a great extent. And that scares people a lot, not having their brain power.
It does. And, you know, the important thing is that, we can't change the calendar. We're chronologically going to get older. But the question is, can we do it better? Can we do it healthier? Can, you know, give more life to the to the years that we have?
And not only through memory and health, but, I mean, the blood vessels, the whole bit. And I know that over the years, this omega-3 fish oil has been a big topic of conversation, but there's so many variances of it, but it's been quite a topic.
Well, it is, and you know, some people might say it's controversial, and you know, it's crazy when you just only look at the headlines that come out sometimes that omega-3s or fish oil will cause this or not effective for that or a negative study, but you know, we're talking about nutrition. That's ultimately what we're really talking about. And so, yeah, absolutely. If we could get Americans to stop eating junk food and processed food and eat more fish and healthier foods, that would be great. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. And so, while fish, a whole fish is much healthier, what I have done is really kind of taken that and looked at how do we supplement what we should be eating and how do we do it optimally to help our brain health stay healthy.
Yeah. Now, there's an interesting story about someone that you helped, I understand, named Bobby, who, which is a pretty good example how this can be quite effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Bobby, just over 8 years ago now, was in a really bad car accident in his senior year of high school. And there's no reason why he should have lived. I mean, it was just a terrible accident. And the parents were told, there's nothing we can do, pull the plug, just let him die peacefully. Yeah. And the parents didn't want to give up on their only son. So they knew about my research with the Army and would put in contact with me. And what I advised the neurosurgeon to do is start pouring copious amounts of fish oil down Bobby's feeding tube. And the real short of the story is he not only survived, but he walked across the stage at his high school graduation 3 months later and is living a happy, healthy, you know, albeit a bit disabled, but he's living a healthy life on his own out in L.A. today.
Yeah, the alternative would not be nearly as discussable here. All right, we understand that this is prescribed. But there are different types. They're manufactured differently. They're processed differently. They're purer. Some have additives. Yours is, tell me, like, what is really needed here?
Well, you know, there are prescription fish oils, and frankly, if you dig into the chemical structure of fish oils and how the process, the manufacturing, mm-hmm. it turns out that the prescription fish oils are, in my opinion, a horrible form. Uh-huh. In fact, the best forms that I've found of fish oil for supplements are over-the-counter. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you squeeze a fish, you get triglycerides, principally. And so the best supplements out there have been, you know, while they've been cleaned and heavy metals and all that stuff separated and uh-huh. removed, the best fish oils are actually reconverted back into that triglyceride form.
Really? And then I hear the triglycerides, are you got to keep your count down. So is there something I'm not understanding?
Well, it's interesting. It's a little bit along the lines of cholesterol.
Yeah,
we now know that mm-hmm. dietary cholesterol does not increase mm-hmm. our cholesterol levels. Mm-hmm. And the same is true for triglycerides. In fact, triglycerides are driven more by the carbohydrates and sugars that we eat than by any of the fats that we eat. And actually, the biggest indication for pharmaceutical fish oils is actually to lower triglycerides.
Wow. Okay. All right. But not all fish oils are the same. In other words, if I went over the counter and was going to pick up a bottle, I wouldn't know what I'm doing. They all say the same big letters on the bottle, but I don't know what to do.
Well, and that's one of the issues with the nutritional supplement industry is it can get confusing.
Yeah.
And learning the first thing you need to do is learn how to read the labels, which is actually a bit of an issue itself. And so there are certainly some trusted brands that have been out there for, you know, 20 plus years, mm-hmm. and there's a reason why they're still around. A lot of companies come and go, but there's certainly four or five well-known brands that have been around for 20 plus years.
Okay, now what is CBD? What does that stand for?
Well, CBD is actually a really interesting nutritional substance.
Okay.
CBD stands for cannabidiol, which is the truly the medicinal part of the cannabis plant.
Oh.
And, of course, when anybody thinks of cannabis, they think of marijuana.
We do.
But, in fact, cannabis is much broader than that. And so when you get CBD derived from hemp, it's completely different. I mean, it's the same structure at the chemical level, but hemp is food. Hemp is a crop. It's grown. It's harvested. It's been the cash crop of the United States for 300 years, and so you can buy hemp and hemp seeds and such at your local grocery store. And when you get hemp derived CBD, it's considered a nutritional supplement. And it has been while I have lots of patients that I have put on fish oil, they say, you know, fish oil is great, but when I started taking that CBD, it's been life-changing. It helps decrease anxiety, helps calm, and basically our own endogenous, our own innate cannabinoid systems control everything of how we think, how we feel, and how our body reacts to stress and other things.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm into. I'll tell you why. Because your heart can be healthy, your organs can be healthy, but the perception of everything is through your brain. And that's the filter of perception, and perception is kind of everything.
Right, and that's basically describes what our own cannabinoid systems do. And so it's interesting. We used to, you know, when you get that runner's high from exercise mm-hmm. or you just feel really good, you know, whether it's a warm hug from your grandmother, or so on. We used to call those endorphins, right? You get that endorphin rush from exercise, for example. We now know that's actually our own cannabinoid system, and our body actually makes these happy molecules themselves. And what's really interesting is nature gives us another way to interact with that cannabinoid system through CBD and other substances. Fish oil actually partially works through the cannabinoid system as well.
Yeah. Now, is CBD available over the counter in the fish oil form as well?
It is. Now, it's the newest sort of blockbuster nutritional substance that's out there, and it's growing leaps and bounds. There's a lot of little companies out there. Most of the CBD you can find on the market and the nutritional supplement sections are going to be found in liquid or sprays or droppers or stuff like that. There's a few companies, some of the larger companies have come out with actually soft gels, like the size of a vitamin D capsule. And that has, in my opinion, really changed the industry. It's where it's really going.
Is not to prescribe here, but what is considered a safe level, a level where it's effective? Where does it fall there?
Well, the safe level is interesting because there's never been any documented issues with thousands of times. So the safety of CBD is unquestioned.
Okay.
The effective level, which is far different. So somebody that's dealing with anxiety, I typically start them with a 15 milligram soft gel in the morning, and because you want to start your day off right. And if you're going off to work or you have a stressful life, you kind of want your day to start off under control. And so I start people with a 15 milligram soft gel and then tell them, and the action occurs within 20 to 30 minutes, as you'll know it. And, the level of calmness increases and the stress, is handled better. But it actually lasts for 7-8 hours and some people even longer. And so I tell people, start off your morning right, and then if you need one later in the day, take a second one. But most people do fine with just one a day.
Yeah, I mean, for me, sleeping nighttime is the most important because that's when the stresses have collected, and you can't slow your mind down. To me, that's the time to chill.
I was just gonna say the same thing. That second time in the day that tends to be really important is bedtime. And, so if you have trouble falling asleep because your mind just keeps going and you're rehashing today's events or worried about tomorrow and you just can't sleep because your mind just won't shut down or shut off, that's the second time when CBD I've found can be incredibly helpful.
Of course, your mind not shutting down is a sign of intelligence. Let's get that straight.
Yeah, but that's going to suffer if you're not getting the sleep.
I know. I know. Okay. I could go on forever, but I shouldn't here. So where do I get more information about this?
Well, a couple of different places. If you want to learn more about the work that I've done for the military and continue to do, I finally put it all into one place, and that's a book available on Amazon called When Brains Collide, and you can track that through either Amazon or whenbrainscollide.com. When I retired from the Army, I started www.brainhealtheducation.org, brainhealtheducation.org. And I would say if you're really interested in CBD, you can learn a lot more from the industry leader. And that website you can find at www.pluscbdoil.com, pluscbdoil.com.
Great. Fantastic. He's Dr. Michael D. Lewis, and thank you so much for your time today. Very, very informative. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime. Would love to come back and join you again.
You got it. We'll be in touch. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time for today. How did that happen? Wow, that's incredible. I'll be back again with another program the next weekday that we encounter. Ooh, I almost couldn't say that sentence. The next weekday that we encounter, let's make a plan to get together and do this again. I'll look forward to it. I hope you do as well. In the meantime, you take care of yourself. Coddle yourself as if you meant something to yourself. Make believe. And eventually, it'll be true. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.